Lord, while the words I speak are my words, may the words that we hear be your words. Amen. Let's keep hope alive. You and I can do this. It won't be easy, but you and I can keep hope alive. Why is keeping hope alive so difficult? It's difficult because there's a lot of darkness in the world. All kinds of darkness. So much to make us afraid, so much to make us anxious. And the struggle in our own hearts for meaning and purpose, things that we can hang on to in a world that's changing all the time. There are days when we get incredibly discouraged. Where can we find a word of hope? The gospel lesson this morning begins, this is the story of the birth of Jesus. It's the beginning of a story of hope. A story of God leaving God's realms of glory and becoming one with us. The theological word is incarnation. God becoming enfleshed, real in the world that you and I know. But beyond the theological understanding, it's a love story. The love story is that we are not alone. No matter how dark or difficult our lives may become at any particular point, that God will go to ultimate lengths to reach out to us, to make a connection with us. That God will reach beyond his realms of glory and come down and be part of the human family. In all its messiness, in all its uncertainty, and God was willing to pay a price for entering this world of messiness, of human beings unable to get it right, this world of distrust and fear. God was willing to enter all of it because God wanted to connect with us. And God wanted us to connect with God. So this is a story of hope coming to us in the challenges and struggles of our lives. What can we do to enlarge this story, this sense of hope in our own lives and in the life of the world? This morning, let's go with three S's. Spiritual practice, support, sharing. Spiritual practice. Spiritual practice is the way we create space in our lives so that we can make a connection with God, so that we can let God connect with us. Now, prayer and meditation are ways to do that, but in the Christmas season, there are some special opportunities for spiritual practice. One of them is a service of lessons and carols. All that beautiful Christmas music, you can't help but begin to get into the spirit of it. But what's happening, the lessons are telling the story of God's saving work from the very beginning of the scriptural record deep in the Old Testament and coming to the point where Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan for the human family. Lessons and carols is one spiritual practice, but my favorite one are Christmas pageants. I've seen a lot of Christmas pageants in my day. They come in all shapes and sizes. But the best ones are the ones that are walk-in pageants, the ones that summon up audience participation. In other words, at pageant time, you happen to show up. Now, there are principals who are delegated responsibilities. You got to have an angel Gabriel, you got to have Mary and Joseph, and you know, if you're lucky, you got a live baby Jesus, and live baby Jesus are better than dolls. But so you walk into the church, and what they have is they have a big wardrobe in the back. You could become a shepherd, you could become an angel, you could become all kinds of things. But so you dress up, and then on cue, you march up and take your place in the tableau as the story is being told. It is a way of participating in the story. It is a spiritual practice. Now, what we're doing Sunday by Sunday as we gather in this place to receive the body and blood of Christ, we're participating in the story as well. This is a spiritual practice. This is an event, worship, giving us a sense of hope for the challenges of our lives. And what happens here on Sunday morning when we gather around this table to be nurtured in the body and blood of Christ is we're going back to the most ancient times. To the Passover feast, when Jesus gathers in the upper room with his disciples. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. We're taken all the way back there. And what it does for us, it anchors us in hope. God's plan reaching back into history. But that's not all it does. It reaches us also into the future, to that big banquet in the sky, that day when God brings it all home, when God's purpose is fulfilled once and for all, and all of us have a place at the table. The future belonging to God that will be nurtured and fed at that time, when God brings it home. And so here we are, December 18th, 2016, gathered in this place. Maybe you didn't realize you're connected to all that history or that vision for the future, but you're participating in the story. And this participation offers us a vision of hope. So spiritual practice. Support. We all need support. Each of us has or will have times when we feel like our backs are against the wall, when we're absolutely stuck and we have no idea where to turn. And somebody from someplace reaches out to us, and it breaks the spell of our isolation. It gives us a vision for a new day. One of the things about church life is to nurture that sense of community, to give that next person who walks in the door a warm welcome, and offering that person the possibility and promise that they can have a place in a community of people who will care for them, support them, be there for them. Churches are great places to do that and to provide that support. And the way the pastoral care teams function now at St. Mary's Church, it really is a wonderful way to see pastoral ministry, the reaching out part for those in need, going from the clergy and professional staff all the way down to everybody else who's part of this family, because it's a family thing. You never know when a word of encouragement is going to help somebody who just needs that word or that smile or that sense of not being isolated anymore. Each one of us needs support. So spiritual practice, support, sharing the vision of hope. Because one of the things that the dark world wants to do is shut us down. The anxiety and the fear, we draw the wagons in a circle. We're unwilling to push out, to lean into life. And the point is, we have a story of blessing and hope. That's what the Christmas story is all about. So to share it, to push out with it, and to do it in those incarnational ways, those specific things like Caritas or the feeding ministry or the way the young people are adopting through the what used to be the presiding bishop, Episcopal relief, buying animals in countries that have emerging economies. Those animals become signs of hope in a broken and confused world. The sharing, the pushing out. And again, churches are good places to practice doing it corporately, but the real work that we're doing is in our lives, in those places where God has put each one of us unique and special and different. We need to push out. We need to share. We have a vision. We come to this place to collect ourselves, to touch the vision, to let the story speak to us. And then in specific, tangible ways, we take that word and message of hope out to those places where God has put us. Sharing. This Christmas is different from any other Christmas. And Christmas is one of those benchmark events in our lives that puts us in touch with things that have been. Perhaps it takes you back to those Christmases when you were a kid growing up, being around the table with grandparents and aunts and uncles. Wonderful memories. People who are not with us anymore. And then the whole thing about taking family traditions at Christmas forward into the future. Well, we can't take it all. And it's hard to give up traditions that have been important and significant and given your life meaning and purpose. But we're moving into a new world, a new time. And so we adapt. And of course, Christmas is also a time of crazy expectations. Crazy expectations, over the top. You're going to be disappointed. You are going to be disappointed, I guarantee it. So lower your expectations, then you won't be as disappointed. What will this Christmas be like for you and for me this year? Let's make it a sign of hope. You and I can do this. You and I can make this Christmas a time of hope.
And now let us stand and say together the ancient words of the Nicene Creed found in your bulletin and in your prayer notes on page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God of the Father, God from God,
down by him. I ask you first with the authority, pray for those who have died, especially Anthony Massey DeVos. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored, whom we remember. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We'll have cookies and coffee right after. to see you there. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is God, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you with unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
Yeah.
calling all those